Good morning. We bring Christian greetings to each one. It's good to be here. I've been blessed by being here and worshiping with you this morning. I do seek interest in your prayers today, this morning, and this evening. And it's actually the first time I've been in this part of New York, so we've been enjoying the lake scenery and the beautiful morning. And also bring greetings from Hepburn Street. So if you ever get down to Lewisburg, Milton area, or Milton, I should say, swing by and worship with us. We enjoy visitors. It's just about only 40 people there, about 10 is around 40. So feel free to worship with us anytime you can. For a few thoughts this morning, I would like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And beginning of this year, I've been reading through the book of Matthew, and when I get into the Sermon on the Mount, I can, there's just so much there in that sermon. And I guess I like to, this morning's message and this evening's message is going to be taken from this sermon, the sermon that Jesus preached. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, seems like in the middle of this sermon, Jesus plugs this thing in about prayer. And all of a sudden, he brings everyone's attention to and explain the reason why we pray and how we pray. And I like to read verse 5 through 8. Jesus says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye therefore not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him." The title of my message is The Lord's Prayer. But before we go further, Jesus brings this as an introduction to the message. Jesus is saying, when thou prayest, he said, don't pray like the hypocrites all around. And I'm not sure if some of those hypocrites were probably in that audience. Or they could at least picture what Jesus was getting at here. He's like, when you pray, not like the hypocrites are. And the reason why, he says, is this. He says, for they love to stand in the corners of the synagogue, or the corners of the street, in the synagogue. What is the whole reason? So they can be seen of men. Don't be like the hypocrites that love standing to pray in the street corners, in the synagogue. And what is the reason why they are praying? It's so they can be heard as seen of men. And then verse 7, or verse 8, Jesus says, "And when thou prayest," verse 7, "do use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking." Don't pray like that either. "For they had long prayers, so people could think well of them, of their prayers." To be seen and to be heard. And Jesus said, that's not prayer. And what Jesus was getting at here is like, the reason why you need to pray is because what prayer is all about, it's communicating with your Heavenly Father. Not to pray for others to hear, or get a brownie point from someone. And that's what these hypocrites were doing here. So many times, I know when we pray, maybe here at church or out loud, so many times we almost think, you know, how's my prayer going to sound so others can hear? But listen, we are actually praying to our Heavenly Father. And it's so easy to think about the others around. But the challenge I like for myself is, remember, we need to pray to God. Prayer needs to come from the heart. Prayer is communication with God. Jesus is teaching the importance of prayer. And what Jesus is driving at here, he said, instead of praying to get attention from the public or from maybe your brothers and sisters or whatever it is, he said, he's saying, actually, he said, just go home. And he says, go into your closet. Find a place, a private, a place where you can actually shut off from the distractions that are around you. And there, get on your knees and communicate with your Father. That's prayer. That's what prayer is all about. And that's what Jesus was driving here. Pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father will reward you. Reward you in secret. And this morning, I don't think we can stress enough, dear ones, the importance of prayer and private communicating with God. Do you have a prayer closet this morning? Do you spend time praying to your Father? It's very important. You know, we all have busy lives. Sounds like you have a busy week coming up here. Busy lives, busy schedules. A lot of us are in the heat of the battle, or maybe raising our children, or we're in that. And then yet we got to provide, and it calls us for busy lifestyles, busy schedules. And the first thing before we realize, our prayer life goes out the door because we don't really have time. Or if we do have time, maybe we'll spend a few minutes and go on. But brothers and sisters, we need to find time. We need to have a special spot where we pray with our Lord daily. It's very important that we want to grow. And I was so impressed with our Sunday school lesson again. What made the apostles stand up strong for Jesus Christ? Well, I believe it was their commitment they had in God and connected to Him in there, being filled with the Spirit. And that's how it's for us, that's how it's going to need to happen when we daily find time with our Lord. Find time. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall reward thee. This morning, that's what prayer is all about. That's what prayer is all about. Then Jesus says in verse 9, okay, I explain what prayer is all about. Why the importance of prayer. He explained this. Then he's like, after this manner, pray this way. And Jesus lays out the format of prayer. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We all know this prayer. We should have probably said it together by memory. We pray this prayer. We're all familiar with it. It's nothing new. We can say it by memory. And we pray it often. I think we should pray it often. It's often called the Lord's Prayer because Christ gave it to the disciples as a model for them. And that's also a model for us as well to pray. I don't think Jesus wanted us. I don't think his intent was that we pray this prayer every time. But it gives us a guideline or shows us a model on how and what to pray for. And when we pray, we should praise God in our prayers. When we pray, we should pray for His work in this world. We should pray for our daily needs. We should pray for the help in our daily struggles that we face. And we see that coming out in this prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray and what to pray for. And that's what I like to look at. Going into the main part of the message here this morning, there's 5 points I like to pull out of this prayer. And the first one is, in verse 9, Jesus says, "And after this manner, therefore," and it's this, "pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the first point I like to look at. This morning, who are we praying to? When we get down our knees, when we get into our prayer closets, when we shut out the world's distractions, who are we praying to? Well, we know we're praying to pray to God. We're praying to our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. I like to think a little bit about our God this morning. I like to plug in. When I think about our God this morning, I like to plug in a few little attributes about God. There's many attributes of God we could talk about. You know, this morning, we're here this morning, I believe, because we are worshiping our God. I trust that's why we're here. Our God is holy. Pure and holy is God. I just try to think about that, the holiness and the purity of our God. No sin. That's our God. He's pure and holy. God is majestic, glorious, splendor, and impressive. God is indescribable. We can hardly in words describe our God. He knows all things. This morning, you know, this morning we're sitting here. God knows all things about us. He knows our thoughts, which are far off. Isn't that amazing? He knows all about us. He knows everything about us. You know, we could be sitting here acting righteous. Maybe there's some sin in the life, in your life, no one knows about, but God knows all about it. He knows all about us. We can't hide anything from God. God is everywhere. God is everywhere present. He sees us everywhere we go. God is all powerful. There is no limit on God's power. God's eternal. He had no beginning, has no end. And we, again, can't wrap our minds around the eternal part of our God. That's barely scratch the surface on describing our God. But the point is, I like to make, even though God is great and high and holy, what does verse 9 say? Even though our God is great and high and holy, He is also our Father. And we see that here. We know God as our Creator and our Redeemer. But we also can know Him as our Father. God is not only majestic and holy, but He's also personal and loving. That just blesses my heart this morning. Even though He is so great and high and holy, and yet He wants to turn around and He wants to stoop down to us and be a Father to us. That just brings so much encouragement this morning as I realize that the fatherhood of God. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here. He's emphasizing the fatherhood of God. That intimacy relationship we can have with God. And this morning is such a blessing that when we go and to our prayer closets and we get down on our knees and we can pour our heart out before our Heavenly Father, to this great and high and holy God who cares so much when we come to Him. How do we view our Father this morning? How do we view God? You know, this morning, sometimes we hear so many light terms about our God. Like He's our Paul, our friend, or the man upstairs, or my buddy. But dear ones, this morning, He's more than that. He's our Father who's in heaven. He is high and lifted up. And He expects to be approached with awe. And I just, in that encouragement, that's why we as parents teach our children to close their eyes and to bow their heads when they pray. And when we pray, do we realize that we are praying to this great Heavenly Father that needs to be high and lifted up? approach him with awe. I thought about us dads. We can compare this relationship with our sons or maybe with our children. You know, we love, as dads, we love when our children come to us. Or we should. When our boys come to us or when our daughters come to us, whatever it is, with their problems, struggles, and hurts and questions. We care about our sons. We love our sons. And we should be ready to listen when our sons come to us. We as fathers need a relationship with our children. You know, the one way to break that relationship is when we don't really care about them, or we don't take time for them, or we are too busy to listen to them or to spend time with them. And if we treat them like that, that relationship between a father and son will be broken, or with our children. But you know, we have a relationship, and I thought, how do our boys, or how do our children view us as dads in their lives? How do they view us as fathers? Well, if we have a relationship, especially, it always amazes, especially at our maybe my younger son, maybe when they're younger, or they view their father as someone that is great and high. They view him with awe, someone that's strong and brave and can handle everything. Just an illustration how our children can view their fathers as dad, being strong. That is how we need to view our Father this morning, our Heavenly Father. View him as our God, as an awesome God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallow here means to set apart, to be holy, to sanctify, to be sacred. The phrase hallowed be your name means to show the world who you are. God wants his name this morning to be exalted in our lives. We are to honor his name. We are to ask God's name to be made holy in our lives. I'm so thankful this morning for our great and holy God. But I'm also thankful for that loving father relationship we can have with him. That's such a wonderful. That he cares so much about us. And he wants that relationship with us all. This morning, that's the desire of our Heavenly Father. That we be one of his children. And that we would walk with him day after day after day. Daily commune with him. I gotta keep moving on. My next point is this, in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus is saying, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know that when Jesus came to this earth, he became or introduced his kingdom during his earthly ministry. And he's someday going to fulfill his kingdom, and it's going to be completed when he rules and reigns this whole world. What kingdom are we a part of this morning? Jesus is saying we need to pray and to ask Father to bring his kingdom to us. Ask it to come. We need to be a part of his heavenly kingdom, not this earthly kingdom. We are to get involved in this earthly kingdom. This morning we live and do things different because we are part of the heavenly kingdom. Or are we? Something to think about. You know, we do things different than the world. We have different goals in mind. We have different interests in mind. Should have. Because we're part of the heavenly kingdom. Part of God's kingdom, God's program. When we pray, thy will be done. We are praying that God's perfect purposes will be accomplished in this world and the next. How does God accomplish his will on this earth, on earth? I believe it's through his people that are willing to obey him. I believe it's through the people of God that are willing to follow him, that are willing to strive to be faithful. And we need to pray, not my will, but thine be done. Not your will, but thine will. You know, this morning, I think we need to daily ask the Lord for his will in my life and in your life. I want to live this day for you, Lord. And I believe that's something we need to ask. Maybe when we get up in the morning and when we're down on our knees and say, Lord, today I'm going to serve you. It's your will. It's not mine. I might have my agenda today, but it's your will. And if you want me to do something for you, I will do it. Or at least strive to do it or be ready to do it. I want to live for you today. We need to fulfill the will of the Lord in our lives as we live for Him. As we live for Him. Am I willing to lay my agenda down for kingdom work? For the work of the Lord? It can be tough sometimes to know where that balance is. For the work of the Lord. But remember, thy will, not mine, be done. For the work of the Lord, this prayer, this part of prayer allows us to offer ourselves as doers of God's will, asking Him to guide us, lead us, and give us the means to accomplish His purposes. This thought I'd like to leave. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, ask Him, it's thy will, not my will be done. We're part of His kingdom. Are we ready to do His will? Moving on, give us this day our daily bread in verse 11. That's my third point. Give us this day. We are to ask God for our daily bread, our daily bread. And I think this morning this is talking more about than just bread. And I believe it means bread, but I like to broaden that thinking a little bit, that scope a little bit. I think it's a little broader term than that. A bread could be a figure of speech here, which represents our need. And in this brief sentence, give us which day our daily bread? Well, this day our daily bread. Give us today what we need. The emphasis is on today. It's not saying give us what I need tomorrow, or next week, or the rest of 2018, but it's today, today. Jesus only promised you today, not tomorrow or next week. And what, I believe what Jesus is driving at here, He says, I want you to live in daily dependence upon Him. After all, we're not guaranteed tomorrow anyway. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, we won't read, but Jesus... it's further on in this chapter. Jesus talks about worrying. He says, it doesn't pay for you to worry about tomorrow or the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just think today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I don't think it's wrong that we plan ahead for the future or think about the future and lay up in store for whatever it is. I don't believe it's wrong, but I think Jesus is getting at here. He wants us to stay focused on the blessings of today and not worry about tomorrow. And I know it's so easy to get down on that worry trail so quickly. And you wonder how we're going to provide maybe for the family, or wonder how my business is going to go. We can go down that trail so quickly. And it's just how we're made up. But Jesus says, just stop. Count your blessings today. Give us this day our daily bread. Our needs today have been met in many ways. And yet, so many times we find ourselves worrying about tomorrow, the future will be. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Ask about today and ask the Lord today for your needs. And this morning when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging that God is our sustainer and provider. How many times do we think about it today? How many times do I realize the blessings I have today are blessings from God? How many times? I know I take so for granted today what I have today, what I have for today, the blessings I have from God. And do I realize that I did not deserve or provide these things for myself, but it was God who met our needs. We must trust God daily to provide what he knows is need. I'm sure there's much more we could say about that, but I need to keep moving. Jesus says also in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus is saying, pray this. We are to ask God to forgive us our debts, our sins, our wrongs. And what Jesus is saying, go to your prayer closet and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your debts, your wrongs, your sins. What a blessing. We can do that. But he's also saying, he's not all done with this verse. He's also saying, I will forgive you of your debts, but you must go and forgive your debtors. And drop down a few verses, in verses 14 and 15, he adds a little more to this forgiveness business. And he says in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus is straightforward in saying how this is done. If you forgive others of their transgressions, the wrongs they've done to you, your Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, if you don't forgive your brother that's sitting beside you, or your sister, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? So often, we want to come to God, and we get down on our knees, and we bring him this debt of sin we have, the sins we've committed. And we want God to erase that debt and take care of these sins. And God said, he will. And Jesus is saying here, he will forgive you. But then turn around and to forgive one of our brethren. Oh, that can be so tough. That person that did something wrong to us. That person that said something bad about me. The person that treats me like dirt. And then we struggle to forgive. We don't go and make our things right. And yet we want our Heavenly Father to forgive. That word debt stood out to me. We all know what debt means. Money we have borrowed that we have to pay back. A Greek meaning of debt is to do with a balance owed. What Jesus has said, this is what Jesus said, forgive us of our debts. And tonight, or this morning, every time you and I commit sin, every time you and I do something wrong, we go in debt. We take on an obligation which we cannot meet. We cannot possibly meet, I should say. It's like going in debt. And it's a debt we cannot pay back. And it's this morning, if you're in debt, and you have sin in your life, you're in debt. You're in debt. And that sin is weighing you down. And you don't have that relationship with God anymore. Or maybe you never had a relationship with God, but that relationship with God there's a wall between you and God because you've committed sin. You went in debt. Of sin you've committed. But you know, this morning, there is a way out of that. Bring your sin debt to God. And he will take care of it. He will bring your sin balance down to zero. He will free you. Praise the Lord for that. We can be free from debt this morning. This morning, we don't need to go through life being miserable, being laden down in debt because of sin. It can be taken care of. And we can praise him for that. We can be free this morning. And that's how we need to be living our lives. Free. Debt free. Free of sin. Taken care of. But then he also says we can Then we can go to our debtors, the person we need to forgive, and forgive them. The word forgive, what is the word forgive means to release and let go of. When you forgive someone, you are saying, that person did me wrong. He has hurt me deeply. He deserves pay for his offense. But today, I'm releasing him of his obligation he has toward me. I'm not forgiving him because he has asked to be forgiven or deserves to be forgiven, but I'm forgiving of him because of the tremendous forgiveness God has offered me. And then we're going to release it and let it go. This morning, is that easy to do? Is that easy to forgive someone and then let it go? Is it easy to do? Well, we know it's not. We might as well be honest with ourselves. That's tough. I just had to think of the example of forgiveness of Jesus. What did he, when he was there hanging on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's an example of tremendous forgiveness. Example of our Lord Jesus gave for us. So many times we think we forgave someone, and we're done. But what happens when we see that person again? And all of a sudden we just have that flashback of, yes. All those feelings come to the surface again. Before we not, we're digging up all the past. And if that's happening, stop immediately. Ask God for strength in those times. And if you have forgiven that person and you feel it's taken care of, just let it in the past. Ask God for special strength through those times. Forgiveness, I don't believe it's mean you forget. But it means you will let go of your desires to retaliate. Instead, you show love to that person. And you'll maybe pray for them. You know, this morning, if you choose not to forgive someone, you'll be the one that suffers. Save yourself some grief. Go and forgive. And you will feel so much better. There again, easy to do now, but God's strength, God's help, I think we can. I need to keep moving. Number 5 here yet. Verse 13 says, and lead us. Jesus says we're to pray this and ask that he would lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus is saying that we need to pray daily to give us strength to overcome our temptations. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. This morning we all face temptations. This morning we have an enemy that's out to get us, dear ones, and to tempt us so we fall for his program. And you know, the devil knows our weak moments. He knows when we feel weak. And that's when he comes and he'll pound us with a temptation. What do we do when temptation comes? Where do we turn for help in those times? Jesus is saying, dear ones, this morning we need to turn to our Heavenly Father. Ask him for help. First Corinthians 10 says this in verse 13. One thing that God has promised us that he will not allow us to be tempted above our endurance. And this verse says, there hath no temptations taken you, but as is common to man, God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What an encouraging verse. We are to ask God. Ask God to help you recognize temptation and give you the strength to overcome it and choose God's way. This morning, there is no temptation that we can't handle on our own. We can, and I know sometimes when temptation comes, it seems like we can barely bear it. It is so horrible, hard to bear it. And it's It's there. It's pounding us. We feel like we don't have the power to override the temptation. But listen, God is faithful this morning. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. What an encouraging verse. We need God's help. The tempter is too big for us to fight off. We cannot handle him alone. He has more power than we have. But when we turn to God for our help, he will help us to overcome temptations. Where are you going for your temptations this morning? This morning, there's no way around this. We do face temptations. Where do we turn to? Do we get down on our knees and say, lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's power is there. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The end of this verse. End of this prayer. These words remind us that God is great and that he is in control. When we fail to pray, you are saying that you can make it on your own. And dear ones, this morning, why is it so often that prayer is the last resource, the last resort we go to? I find it that way. When I'm going through a tough time and about at wit's end of knowing how to go, then I get down on my knees. Brothers and sisters, let's be prayer warriors this morning. Let's have prayer closets. Let's use them. We can't make it on our own. We need the power and help of our Lord. We need to ask him for his help and power to overcome this evil one, to be faithful. And this morning, the most important thing we can do is spend time in prayer and pray to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray.